When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, what do you got there?
This is the new Ping G430 Max 10K driver. It's next level, I'll tell you. It's so impressive. We all know that Ping help you play your best. I've been using them for years. I wouldn't use anything else. In fact, this new driver, it's Ping's straightest and highest moment of impact driver ever.
Holy moly. So on the course, what's that going to mean? How's it going to help golfers?
Well, to put it simply, it means people are going to be hitting longer, straighter, and they're going to absolutely crack their drives off the tee. I could talk about it all day. It's that good. But the best thing to do, if you want to check out how impressive Ping's new G430 Max 10K driver is, just book in with your local golf shop or professional to arrange a Ping club fitting, and I'll see you out there with my Ping gear.
It's week 47 of the golfing calendar, and what a win from the incredible Minwoo Lee in the Australian PGA. But it's not over. Next, the Australian Open. What a massive fortnight for golf in Australia, huh? Big thanks to Ping. They'll help you play your best. You can get a Ping club fitting from your local golf shop or professional. And what a great Chrissy Prezzi idea for someone, or maybe for yourself. And the Golf Clearance Outlet. They're in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Perth, and online at golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. But now, the hosts of the number one Australian golf podcast, here's Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen. Strap in. It's a big episode of Talk Birdie to Me.
You've made it. You've made it in this town, son.
I've made it.
You have made it.
Okay.
Because on Monday morning, I flicked on 3AW like I always do in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And John Anderson came on at 6:25 a.m. and gave the quiz question.
Okay.
Quiz question was, what player is the only player on earth to ever beat Tiger Woods, not once, but twice in match play?
Did you call him?
No. But at 6:30, you'd made it. Nick O'Hearn's name came out of the barrel and bang, someone won a couple of bottles of the Bordley wine. Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful.
And you are now entrenched.
I could be. I think in the Trivial Pursuit edition, I think I actually have another record as well.
Oh, what's that?
Which you probably would never have heard this.
No, I haven't, but I'm in.
Who won the last official tour event of the millennium?
Oh, because we're last.
We are last.
We're last.
And you know which tournament's last?
Coolum.
Coolum. The 1999 Coolum Classic.
Unbelievable.
You mentioned wine a second ago.
Yes.
I just want to read a quick message we got today.
Okay.
This is from Mark Willoughby. Hey, boys, enjoy the Margaret River wine this week after Minwoo's win. So, Nick, Mark and I are very much looking forward to this Margaret River wine.
Is it in your bag? Is it?
Where
is
it? I see it there.
It's not in your bag?
Look, I got home very late.
Oh.
I've been down on the golf course all day.
Here we go.
Come on.
And hang on.
You
when
don't
when
make
are
excuses.
You guys?
Nick O'Hearn doesn't make excuses.
When are you guys going to bring in a bottle? However, if I had have, it certainly would have been a, let's see, a nice Margaret River, probably a Cab Merlot, something like that. It's a beautiful part.
Probably yeah. Doesn't
maybe
actually
a
make
Chardonnay.
The grade, really.
Yeah, well, I might have one tonight.
Well, can I say this? I sat on my couch all week. Wasn't working. Sat on the couch all week, and the broadcast and the coverage was fabulous. Really, really well done to PGA TV and Jam TV, everybody involved. It was fabulous. It really was.
They did a great job.
But let me tell you this. I didn't realise Minwoo Lee had the short game that he possesses. I really thought it was all wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, off the tee, a reasonable wedge player, and a putter good enough to win tournaments. But what he displayed from me watching, I don't know, I must have watched about 6 or 7 hours from Thursday to Sunday. Every time he missed the green, he did something spectacular, when I was watching anyway. And then the highlights, you watch the highlights, Nick, you know, the chip in on 9 on the last day. And there was another one. I don't know what hole it was, a little short hole, and he was in the rough.
12.
Thank you.
Beautiful pitch.
That was spectacular as well. Did you know much about the short game he possesses? Oh, because it was just for everyone to see.
He's West Australian. They've all got great short games over there.
That's not true.
No, I think a lot of it comes from probably chipping comps with his sister, Minji. And I knew he was very good short game. Mm. Everyone talks about his length, but when you have that much length, you need to be a good wedge player because you're going to have a lot of wedges.
Yeah.
The putting, I wasn't quite sure how good he was because I haven't seen much of him. He's been on the DP World Tour, so I haven't covered a lot of that for obvious reasons. But it was an interesting start to Sunday's round. Like, he hit it so far down one. He had a three-shot lead over Hoshino, the Japanese player. Hit it so far down one that he was too close to the green. I mean, he probably should have hit three woods had he get a fuller shot in because the pin was tucked sort of front right and he flares one over the back. And the short game wasn't quite on song there. He had a pretty tough lie there. It was against the grain. And then Hoshino birdies the first two. He makes a bogey on the first and all of a sudden we're all square and everyone's going,
Hang on,
this isn't the script we were hoping for.
Well, normally we say a lead always gets eaten away and this happened, in the first hole?
Two holes. It took two holes, yeah. But by the fourth, they were still tied and Joaquin Niemann made a hole in one on the, now I have to get this right, the CCEP $1 million hole.
Yeah, yeah.
He made it on the Sunday, but the $1 million was on the Saturday.
Oh, it was not.
Yeah, it was tough. They had all these kids out, you know, hitting with the groups and everything. And the $1 million was on the Saturday, not the Sunday. So Joaquin Niemann makes a one. Gets the honour on the next, which is fantastic. Not the $1 million, but he's in live golf anyway, so he's cashed up.
Pocket change.
But Minwoo Lee, we almost had two in about 20 minutes. Did you see his shot into four?
Yes.
It was incredible.
The little low draw.
The low draw to a back left pin. And that's what sort of kicked him off and fired him up. And then he made a few birdies the front nine. And then obviously the chip in on the ninth was sensational. He went nuts. That's the most animated I've ever seen him. It was very, very impressive. And then, as you mentioned, the pitch on 12, knocked it stiff. And then also, he had a really good chip on 15, the par 5.
Yeah.
He was just on the upslope short of the green and hit a great shot to 2 feet, and that was basically tournament over, pretty much.
It was all done and dusted. I heard you on SEN today talking about him. I was on with 3AW's Neil Mitchell. And I did a bit of research. I don't do it too often when it involves golf. But I did this time with Minwoo Lee. And 100,000 TikTok followers, over 200,000.
Is that all? I would have thought he had more.
Well, this is what I saw. I haven't got a TikTok account, so I didn't go check it out. Over 200,000 on Instagram.
Wow.
You know, word of mouth is big, and the modern day word of mouth is social media.
Mm.
And I was talking with Neil about it because he wanted to know what Let Him Cook meant. And I said, well, listen, you know, Phil Mickelson he was always hitting bombs. DJ just sends it. That's what he is. And he goes, what, send it? I'll send it over the trap, send it over the corner, just send it. You had John Daly with Grip It and Rip It.
Yes.
And now you've got Minwoo Lee. He's come along with Let Him Cook. And the more I read about it, you know, you got Golf Digest. They're calling him, is it golf's first... what was the term they used?
TikTok golfer, basically.
No. Cult hero.
Really?
And I thought, you know, there's been a few cult heroes in the game of golf before. I mean, the Walrus was one and Chi-Chi Rodriguez.
Arnie's Army.
Yeah. So there's been a few. But they were saying because of the things he is doing on social media and just his following whenever he tees it up at an event now, it's quite staggering, really, isn't it?
It's the young people he's bringing into the game is fantastic. Now, Dan, you just looked it up on, what was that, Instagram?
No, that's TikTok.
250,000
250
followers.
Yeah, that'll be more.
And on 17, it was fantastic. It was the party hole, you know, they have it, and it is what it is, the party hole. You know, the thing was, it was the Southern Comfort party hole.
Yes.
So there was a lot of people... imbibing in the afternoon, and as the day went on, it sort of got louder and louder, obviously. But he put the chef hat on the green and, you know, got the Viking clap going.
Yeah.
Everyone was right into it. I don't think he would have done it with a one-shot lead, but he had a three or a four-shot lead at that
point. Just a crazy risk. Could you imagine, you know, with a one-shot lead if he decides to do all that sort of stuff? And, you know, maybe the drive that he hit on 18 actually just rolls a couple of balls more and it falls into the front. He's got a downslope. He goes for it. He leaves it in, rolls back into his footprint. You know, you couldn't have risked it. But with four shots, It was fabulous.
Fine. Yeah.
Now I'm going to ask you, what about if he had a two-shot lead?
I don't think he would have done it with a two-shot lead. Three, yes.
Yes.
Do it with three. Four, for sure. I mean, Jed Morgan, remember him when he won a couple of years ago? He had like a 9 or a 10-shot lead and he was giving it everything, pumping fist all the way down 17.
Watching at home, it almost looked a little bit Liv-esque almost. Cause I remember at one point there was Eye of the Tiger was playing. It was, the crowd was singing. Looked fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone was getting into it for sure. It's one of those holes where, it's okay every now and then. I don't think you'd want it every week. And some of the players, you could tell, they were getting a bit, a bit frustrated with it all, trying to get people to quieten down. But for the most part, I think everyone embraced it. And it's one of those deals. It's like playing in Phoenix.
Yeah.
The 16th hole, the stadium hole in Phoenix, is the most insane crowd you'll ever hit a golf shot in front. And they will let you know if you don't hit a good shot.
Yeah, that's right.
They will give you it no end. Now, if you don't like it, don't play. It's pretty simple. Very simple solution to that. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I think if you don't like it, it's just a situation in Australian golf where you've got to grit your teeth, play the hole, and get out of there.
Yep.
It's as simple as that. And, it's easy to say in America if you don't like it, don't play, because you've got 40 other events that are worth almost as much.
Mm.
But here in Australia, you've got, 2 million this week? I think it's 3.5 million next week. You can't really skip these ones.
No.
You can't. You actually you can't skip it. If you're here in Australia and you haven't got a DP World Tour card or you're not somewhere special, you actually just got to grit your teeth on 17, cop it, and get on with it. And it's as simple as that, because the colour that gets it to a $2 million event and next week as well is important in this day and age.
No, absolutely. And Minwoo, he just went to the top of our order of merit, and they've, it's six or seven events. So it is, the money with this and the points that come with it is obviously huge. So all the young players do have to do it. And the other player I was really happy to see play well was Mark Leishman.
Yeah.
He shot a 7-under, bogey-free 64, and he looks really good right now. I mean, he was in full flight, and he could be my pick going into the Open this week.
Yeah, okay. Well, I wanted to talk about Curtis Luck just briefly as well.
Yeah.
Lovely to see him go well. Yes. His putting is incredible. I just love what he does. Yeah, the really high heads.
Yes, the shaft line definitely isn't going up the forearms.
No. It's almost, I reckon it's the way I remember Aaron Baddeley putting when he won. It's the way I remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe my memory of what Aaron was doing back in those days is incorrect, but super high hands. But to see him and Minwoo Lee in that top four, it took me back. I used to do this thing called AO Radio.
Okay.
And there was a Australian Open at Royal Sydney, and there was three amateurs. I forget who the other amateur was, but they'd all made the cut. One of them was Curtis Luck. He just won the US Amateur. The other one was Minwoo Lee. He wasn't far off. He just won the US Juniors, which is the under 18. And if you don't know, Minji Lee won the US Juniors as well. They became the first brother and sister to ever win the US Juniors. So what we were doing at the time, there was quite a few hosts of the radio. We had our draft, and that's where the draft comes from when we were commentating. So we had our draft back then. And Curtis Luck was obviously the pick, but we all picked Minwoo Lee. And it was just, he just had the length, He just had the length. And watching the golf on the TV, to see him blow it by Scotty by, 15, 20 steps every second tee shot where they were firing. The advantage of this young man that he has off the tee is extreme. And you just don't see people hit it that far and pitch that well. It just doesn't happen very often.
And he backed it up with the putter as well. He's got the heel off the ground with the putting, which I didn't. The only thing I'm a little concerned with him is on the shorter putts, every now and then with a 3 or 4 footer, he does take a little extra time, an extra second or two over the ball. And, every now, I saw a stroke which wasn't that great. But, he it didn't matter because he ended up winning the tournament. But he played with Scotty on Saturday, and that was an interesting pairing because it was the old and the new coming together. And I think they played with John Lyris as well, who's a really good player. He didn't have a great day, unfortunately. But Scotty had a real chance. He was hanging in, playing solid, and then all of a sudden on the back nine, a couple of bogeys, Minwoo makes a few birdies, and bang, he's gone. It was incredible.
Scotty only shot 1 under for the weekend.
Yeah. He's 11 under through 2 days. And
what did it look like to you? Because I heard you talking about on day three that he'd only missed 4 greens. So it wasn't just the old Didn't hold the putts, was it?
He didn't really hit it that close on the weekend, so he didn't really make anything. And then when he did miss a green, he didn't get it up and down, basically. Just a couple of bogeys, a couple of birdies. There was really nothing happening for him. I mean, he still shot level par on Saturday.
Yeah. So. I heard you on Monday talking on SEN, and I heard you talking about Cameron Smith. People were really concerned. I don't know why they'd be concerned. He's a hell of a player, and one bad week doesn't mean much. Or did you see something else? The way he was hitting or swinging at the golf ball.
It's strange. It's very weird to see Cameron Smith play poorly because you're so used to seeing him hit the ball well. And I didn't see him on the Thursday round. He shot 2 over par. He was off very early. So, I mean, they tee off at 6 o'clock over there up in Brisbane, which is very, very early. And then on the Friday round, we obviously had him on coverage the whole day. And from the get-go, I mean, he was missing greens with wedge. Ugh. He was coming up short, going long. He was just completely out of sync, and he was just... I think this is a golf course as well, Royal Queensland. When you try to push, because the greens are quite small and the targets are fairly small, and if you're not on song, you're going to easily make bogeys, basically. And that kind of happened to him on the Friday. He was trying to get them all back in one, and he just couldn't do it. And to his credit, though, Saturday, he was out there signing autographs for all the kids most of the day, I believe. And then Sunday, he was out there practicing, working on his game. So he's serious about this coming week.
Yeah, that's great. Because, I think I saw him in tears, like everybody
I heard.
Did who watched it closely. Not in tears. I don't think he was
holding
sobbing.
Back tears.
He was welling up. Yeah. That's for sure. And I think that comes with, if you get paid to come home for your National Open, well, getting paid to come back for National PGA and Open is another thing. I mean, if I was those guys, I would like to think that I would come back for free if I was those guys. I'm not, though, and they do what they do for their own reasons, and good luck to them. But I can't help but think that one of the reasons that he would well up and would be that emotional is because when you take that money and you do not perform on the weekend, that would hurt you inside. I mean, have you ever accepted appearance money in Australia, Nick? This is a kind of a personal question I'm asking you on the podcast.
I'm trying to think, going back. If I did, it wasn't very much. Because, no, what they used to do was give us accommodation flights.
That's great.
And that sort of thing. But I don't think...
Never got cold, hard cash.
I don't think so. But don't hold me to that. I'll talk to my old agent.
So you see what's happening here? His pile of cash was so large.
No, it wasn't.
Was going on back in the day. That's the problem.
Yeah. But funnily enough, there was a weird situation once when I was doing quite well in the US. I probably shouldn't talk about this.
Yeah, Let's go.
And I was at Augusta, and they wanted me to... There was a tournament on the European Tour. I wasn't playing European Tour at this stage. I was over in PGA Tour.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've gone, look, we want you to come play in Germany. There was a tournament going on. And I said, sorry, I'm full on schedule. Oh, no, we'll pay you to go. And they sort of offered a figure. And I said, look, no, I'm good. Would you say no to Nick?
We need to know.
No. I'm not going to say.
What did you say? That was $100,000.
But in the end,
say no to $100,000?
But in the end, I do have a price because they kept going up, said no, I'm not going to go. And my agent said, look, they came back again. I said, oh really? What did they come back with? I said, no, it's going to affect this and that. And in the end, they said, well, they've actually doubled it. I said, bugger it, let's do it. But as it turned out, it worked out that it was the week after the British Open, I think, something like that.
So that's handy. Over there anyway.
I was over there anyway, but I didn't want to do it at the time because it just didn't, I don't know, there was something going on. But in the end,
good on you.
We take the cash.
So you should. Absolutely, Nick. So you should.
You're trying to make a living for your family and all that sort of thing.
That's right. And look, when Greg Norman was Tiger Woods, his argument for coming back, well, what he did for Australian golf was unbelievable. I mean, he played in them all. But he said, listen, if my name's on the poster and you're making money off my name, then maybe I should be getting something. And I don't think he bent them over back then. Mm. I don't think it was ridiculous for someone, who was the biggest figure in golf at the time. He was enormous. So his argument was, if you're making money off me, then I want some in. And I think back in those days, they actually were making money. Mm. Well, I'm not sure that's the case anymore. I don't think they do make a lot of money. I think the tournaments just are run. But back in the day when Shark was around.
Yeah, the promoters did very well.
Promoters were making a stack of cash.
And a stack. And for those big superstars, I mean, when Tiger came down and played the Masters or whatever he did, and they, you know, the figure was $2 million or $3 million, whatever it was.
Yep.
I mean, for him, it's worth it.
That's absolutely
And
worth
the government were going, you know, we actually probably...
We would have paid more.
We would have paid more, exactly. Yeah. It was a bargain.
As a viewer, you guys are pros, but as a viewer, I was happy to see Cam Smith actually really feeling that because I wanted to see the Aussies passionate about it and want to do well and want to do better. So I thought, you know, it's a good thing.
I was glad that if he was unemotional for taking the appearance money and didn't care, that would have hurt me. I mean, if he was just normal... And then came and practiced. That's enough. You know, just be there. I would have loved him in the commentary booth for a little bit.
Yeah, it would have been good.
I wish, and I don't know, you probably don't know either, whether he was asked or not. But I would have liked to have seen him, you know, give us half an hour or an hour of your time on Saturday and early on Sunday. I would have liked that. But what he did anyway, which was the autographs and the practicing, and there's Cameron Smith. You know, he still had something to do if he went to the golf.
We had Nicholas Kolsarts come in over the weekend.
I heard him.
But on it was on the Friday, I think, we actually had him mic'd up on the golf course. Did you see that?
No, okay. I didn't see that.
Right at the end, he was talking. You know, we went to him. He's got the AirPods in, and we're chatting away. And how's it going? He says, well, and he was funny. He goes, if you want to know where not to hit it and not how to play this golf course, you're following the right guy right now. And he went through and explained. He said, look, you know, I birdied the first. The second hole, I hit it left down into that little wetland area, knocked it to a foot, and I'm thinking, happy days. He got up there, hit the wrong ball.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Hit the wrong ball, had to go back, found his ball, made triple, and then it was over
Hasn't
from there.
Has he got text stuff all over his golf ball like every other pro out there?
But anyway, as we're chatting along with him, it might have been on like the 13th hole or something, and I asked him about the Ryder Cup and what that was like, and right at the end he goes, it was fantastic to get the win because we always love effing beating those Americans.
And he let
the F-bomb go.
On TV.
On TV. Yeah, which was fascinating. And he does some commentary over in the European Tour. So, but in the end, we just sort of said, hey, he's passionate about it. And he goes, well, isn't that normal here in Australia? And I said, yeah, sure, you can get away with it.
You watch the ABC late at night, you get the whole gamut of swear words, I can promise you.
Are you seriously saying, because I didn't see it, he hit the wrong ball?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, on the second hole.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever done that?
No.
I haven't. No.
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 Because every pro puts their little marking on.
Yeah.
I always had a blue dot.
What he forgot was the range backs onto the second hole, and they're using the same. They were using the Titleist balls, and that's what he used.
Not with the big range.
I don't know if it's got that on it.
Well, but... practice. Those Titleist balls used to have a big practice.
Well,
on
I think his ball, the ball was down in the long grass, so he didn't actually get down there and actually have a look because he was in the hazard. Maybe he couldn't identify it. I don't know. Maybe that was why he did it.
Should there be a penalty for hitting the wrong ball? I think there should be,
just for
being stupid.
Just stupidity. Anyway, but...
Hey, I want to ask you about Royal Queensland as well, because I haven't seen the redo. I can only remember it the way it was. And look, the way it was, for where it was on the, you know, Riverbank Flats the Story Bridge there and, you know...
Gateway Bridge.
Thank you. It was fine.
Yep.
You know, considering a flat piece of clay land in Queensland, they did an amazing job.
Yeah, I liked it.
What did it look like? What do you think of it now after the redo? Now, Mike Clayton Golf Design was doing it, and Mike Clayton's got a lot of credit. Michael Cocking was involved when all this was going on as well.
I didn't know all that, but you mentioned that earlier.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
So what's the course like?
It's pretty wide off the tee, but the thing about it is the fairway bunkers, there's a lot of them in the middle of the fairway, so you have to avoid those. That's important. And they're a bit scattered around. It's about working angles. There's a lot of space off the tee, so typical. It has almost a sandbeltish feel off the tee to it where it's quite wide, but it's obviously a different grass.
Oh, you mean a Royal Melbourne feel?
Well, not quite. No.
A Kingston Heath feel?
What's a whitish? Yeah, I suppose.
Kingswood, Peninsula Kingswood feel.
Yeah, there you go. It's got a Peninsula Kingswood feel off the tee. That's probably what I would say. But it's, you know, we're talking, what was it, Queensland Blue Cooch or whatever it is, that Bermuda-style grass
it's
that
the best they can
survives
do.
In the heat.
It's amazing.
The greens were the tricky part. A lot of grain in them, even though there was a guy who said, no, there's no grain in these, but trust me, there is. And then there's a lot of upside-down saucer-type greens. Pretty tricky overall. But if you're long, like it, for you and I to play it, it's a very, very tough golf course. If you're long off the tee, you can escape a lot of the trouble and the wasteland areas. And I think for the bigger hitters, it's a little easier.
So all you need is 190 miles per hour ball speed.
Yeah, that'll do.
Righto. I'll start practicing.
We'll keep working on it, but anyway.
Hey, tell me about the new LIV schedule is out.
Yes.
And you've seen it. So we knew Adelaide was back in its kind of regular spot, which is in April.
Late April, yep.
Did we get another go?
Thankfully, no. They've got 12 events released. Apparently, last year was a 14-event schedule. The last two on the schedule haven't been announced yet, but they think they're going to be in Chicago and what was the other one? Dallas, I think. I don't think they're going back to Miami.
Don't tell Clive Palmer this.
Oh, okay.
We've mentioned Coulomb twice today.
We have. Okay. Well, maybe it's not for next year. It could be the year after. Okay. Who knows? Right. But it's 12 events over about 8 different countries, so it's going to be very much a global tour.
Yep.
Three of the events will clash with three of the signature PGA Tour events.
Which
ones? I'm actually putting them up against them. Mexico, the first event, is up against Pebble, AT&T. The next one is Houston, and that's going to clash with Memorial.
Ooh.
And then Nashville clashes with the Travelers. Signature event, to be honest. Now, the Vegas event is the Super Bowl week. They've put it that week, but they end on the Saturday. Saturday. Super Bowl's on the Sunday. And that's actually the same week as the Phoenix event.
Smart.
As well.
That's clever. Yeah. Oh, it's the same week as the Phoenix. Yeah.
Yes.
And Phoenix end finishes on a Saturday now, doesn't it? Doesn't just finish. Well, I think it did last year.
Did it? Yeah, you're probably right.
It didn't just finish early, so you could then go in your drinking stupor to somewhere else, to some bar and watch it.
Yeah.
I actually started finishing it on the Saturday,
right,
which makes more sense. It's too big.
Yeah,
the Super Bowl's too big. The players want to see it. Everybody wants to see it.
Yeah. And then the other sort of live news that came out, I guess, in the last week or so, but I didn't really follow it much, but they apparently Phil Mickelson started spreading rumours that John Rahm is going to live for $600 million. That was what sort of came out on social media a bit now for me. I will believe it when I see it.
I can't see it.
Yeah. They do have the same agent. We'll say that. He's good mates with Sergio, and you know he's pulled out of the TGL, which is Tiger's Golf League. But did you see that's been pushed back to 2025 because the roof collapsed?
I didn't know the roof collapsed.
It was decimated, the whole
Are
thing
you
collapsed.
Joking? Yeah. Imagine if they had people in there, it's the first guy, and there's a huge cheer. You know, Tiger Woods has a hole in one, the place goes crazy, and the roof fell down.
Well, it's like
imagine if that happened.
It's like a big, circus tent or something. Who knows what it is? But anyway.
Sounds like a circus, to tell you the truth.
I have a feeling a couple of big name players will go, though. Someone, you know, maybe who didn't wear a cap in the Ryder Cup and the other guy, Xander. I think those two maybe might go. But
and Xander?
Well, I think they go as a package deal, those two, because they're best mates.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're good mates. So,
well, see, they must know something. You know, I can't imagine why those two or John Rahm would go.
No, I know.
I can't imagine because you can see what's happened. You know, you can just see what's happened. But if the money's outrageous, then why wouldn't you, I guess? I mean, it's just generational wealth for some of these characters.
They're real one for the books if Rory went because he was very, very critical.
Yeah, well, he's not on the dropped off one of the what board was he on? The tour board or the
tour
players
policy board, yeah.
Tour policy board. He jumped off that in a hurry.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Hey, I heard a rumour.
Oh, go on. I love rumours.
I heard a rumour that your new pings have arrived.
They did.
Did they?
Oh, I just took them out today for their first hit.
Yeah, so hang on. You can tell us about it. We've got to have a break. We've got to have a break. A big thank you to the Golf Clearance Outlet. And I'm told, believe me, the bargains before Christmas are off the charts.
Well, funnily enough, Golf Clearance Outlet. So I was at an outing last week at Kingston Heath.
Yes.
And I saw on the sheet Sam Colosimo.
Yes.
He was going to play.
Yes.
I was looking forward to him. And then cancelled. I don't know what happened to Sam.
He's too busy, mate.
He's too busy selling those gloves.
He's too busy selling the best gloves in the world and organising the biggest brands in the world.
He's getting smashed at the moment.
To get to the Golf Clearance Outlet. I'm going to go get a couple of party pies. I'll see you on the 10th tee.
All right, cheers.
No chicken sambos.
Ha I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, if you haven't checked out the Golf Clearance Outlet, then you, I can guarantee you this, are missing out. And if you have, well, you know what we're talking about. Great time to drop in because with all the new equipment released in January, good old Sam at the Golf Clearance Outlet is licking his lips because the stores are chock full of 2023 branded clearance product. And you know, that was a hell of a year for golf equipment, Nick.
You're spot on there, Mark. There's heaps of gear for righties, of course, but as you know, I am a lefty, so there's a heap of gear for lefties as well, and plenty for both men and women. And if you're after a great Prezi idea, you can get gift cards in-store or online.
So if you're looking for great golf gear and great prices, the Golf Clearance Outlet needs to be in your plans to go and check it out. See the team in-store at Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Perth, or online golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. It's that simple, Nick.
Can't wait.
Hang on, Nick. I thought you were righty putting now.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Hey, Nick, I know you've heard of the Watch My Numbers app. It is brand new and it is going to dominate the golf app scene for a long, long time. If you want to improve your game, you need to know the areas you're doing well in and where you need to improve. And this app will tell you exactly that, Nick.
Yeah, you're spot on, Mark. It's the most powerful database golf app in the world, and it helps analyze and improve your game like never before because it uses real-time data from your rounds and highlights the areas of your game that you want to look at.
You get actionable and usable info in minutes, not hours. That's really important. It's easy to use. You can set up your profile very quickly. I've done mine. And start accessing data and subscriber-only content straight away.
Hmm. Who's it aimed at?
Well, it's aimed at people who want to improve their game. It's for all levels of every golfer out there. Particularly powerful if you're a mid to low handicapper. But it's great for the elite level and pros as well.
So elite and pros as well. I like that.
Watch My Numbers. Download it from the App Store and turn your bogeys into birdies.
Like the podcast? Oh, maybe tell a friend. Drop them a text or share it on your socials. This is Talk Birdie to Me with Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen.
Right, are we right?
Yep.
So it is ridiculous because it doesn't matter who you are. No. When you get a brand new set of clubs, you're excited. And have a look at you. Look at the smile on him.
I remember when you got your
title. Like a little kid.
You got your titleist a while back, didn't you? No, what were they?
The T150s. It's the best decision I've ever made in my entire life. I still love them.
Well, a month ago when I went into the Ping factory there in Mordialloc, and I got fitted by Matt Austin. I'm a Ping player for so long.
I wish I could see you getting fitted, because I know you'd walk in there, you'd know exactly what you wanted. what you want, but you had to go through the fitting.
Oh, yeah, but I've never done it before, really. Yeah.
So how big a difference was there from what you thought you'd get to what you actually got?
No, it's pretty much what I thought I'd get. they have all my specs on file from years ago.
Yeah.
The only thing they don't have is the same shafts, the old ZZ Light shafts. Do you remember those?
Yeah, they were good.
So these ones came with dynamic gold. So I got the new Blueprint S iron, and geez, they look good. I mean, I had the eye blades, and I thought they looked good, but these ones look even better. And I got the new driver. I feel like Min Woo off the tee at the moment. I know it's not going that far, but I feel like him anyway. So creating the same speed.
I love that you're still excited about getting a new set of clubs. It warms my heart.
Last week, you guys were talking about caddies and consumer. Yes. Didn't have a caddy. And we had a message from Greg who wants to have a chat to you about that.
Okay.
He's got a question about it. So
let's get Greg on.
Let's give him a call.
Do we know where Greg's from?
No. We're going to ask him.
Oh, yeah.
Through the power of the phone.
I wonder if he's got a Nokia like you.
Hey. Calm your farm.
Are you sure this is the right number?
Well, maybe not.
Hello, Greg speaking.
G'day, Greg. It's Mark Allen and Nick O'Hearn.
Yeah, good.
Oh, we lost him.
Yeah, I think we have, yeah.
Oh, no.
Are you driving, Greg?
No, I'm in the office.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Yeah, I think we're good now, so.
Fire away, Gregory.
In relation to your chat last week, with the young New Zealand golfer, Kazuma
Kabori.
Correct.
Kabori, yes, and the lack of a caddy. And I just thought I'd put my hand up. If he was needed one, I thought I'm the man, I'd do it for love.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. There are plenty of people around, like Greg, that want to caddy for people and be involved, for sure. Whereabouts do you play, Greg?
Oh, absolutely. I'm on the Central Coast at Cowinda Waters.
Is that a Craig Parry design course?
It is, actually. Yes, I heard you talking about him last week.
I did see where Kabori's an invite this week at the Australian Open. So you might want to make your way down there and see if you can get it. He might let you caddy in the practice round.
Maybe. I don't know how good I'd be, though. I'd be too busy looking around at all the other golfers, I think. I'd be a bit starstruck.
Well, I know this. I always felt bad for the caddies during the practice rounds. I don't know about you, Nick, but the amount of running around the amount of running around, that's where they earn their money.
That's where you pay them the big bucks, Mike.
Yeah, on the Tuesday and the Wednesday, if you've got practice rounds on those days, the amount of work and the amount of chasing golf balls and rolling them back and cleaning clubs and checking yardages and God knows. What else, Nick? Have I missed anything?
Yeah. Cleaning shoes, I'm not sure.
Cleaning shoes, telling a few jokes, trying to keep their player happy. So many things.
If I was given a shot at being a caddy, I'd be rubbernecking all over the place trying to get my eyes on some of these stars. How did you go about when you saw your idols?
Well, I was lucky because I was a caddy before I turned pro. So I did all my rubbernecking when I was 15. You know, when I was caddying for a guy called Ian Roberts who was a young superstar. He won the Tassie Open, and then I ended up caddying for David Ferrety. And you know, I couldn't get over the practice rounds of David Ferrety. You know, we're playing with Sam Torrance and Ian Woosnam and Nick Faldo, and I was just 15 years old. And you know, these guys were talking to me like I was their friend. I just couldn't believe it. So I got all that out of my system when I was 15. I was lucky.
You caddying for for David Ferrety explains a lot, actually, I think. when I first went out on tour and all of a sudden you're paired with Greg Norman or whoever, like most people would, you are crapping yourself, basically. But the thing about being a professional golfer is if you want to do it for a living, you have to get used to that sort of thing. And you get in your own bubble pretty quickly, for sure. And if you do let it affect you, well, then you try and learn from it and figure it out next time. But if you're rubbernecking as a caddy, you may not survive very long on the caddy tour because you're there to do a job for your player and not watch everyone else. But I love that you're so keen anyway.
Yep.
Hey, Greg, just before you go, I just wanted to say, Nick, you know, he made it sound easy then, but it's actually difficult. Some players just can't handle playing with big name players.
No.
Some players just cannot, and they actually lose their way. And it does take a special kind of, not only game, but a special kind of mindset. And it's a selfish, I'm going to beat you today mindset that not every professional golfer had. And Nick certainly had that. And, you know, you only have to go back to beating Tiger twice in match play.
I've never heard that story.
We half joke about it these days because we say it all the time. But the mindset to be able to do those things, it's rare, and the man on the other side of the desk had it for sure. It was a really good question, is what I'm trying to tell you.
Appreciate it. Love the chat, guys.
Good on you, Greg.
All right, all the best.
What a nice bloke Greg was.
Good man.
Got a bit of feedback here, guys.
Oh, here we go.
And the first bit of feedback is a very similar one to what Greg just asked.
Okay.
This is from Nick. Nick has said, "Hey guys, love the pod, but I was somewhat taken aback at these young pros playing tournaments without caddies. I'm in Melbourne. I'd happily caddy for someone when the tour's in town or nearby. I'm a 10 handicap, so I won't be a great help with the pro stuff, but I can lighten the load. I can take bunkers. I can collect divots. Yeah. How would I, and this is a serious question, how would I volunteer and can I? Cheers, Nick."
Well, look, in the old days, there was no volunteering. You just wait on Monday and you wait by the pro shop and you know, you'd get it back. But if you and I get our way for all the smaller tournaments, I think everybody in the last four or five groups should have a caddy. I think it looks better on the TV, and we're actually saving players from themselves a bit and just getting him to the mindset that you need a caddy to be any good in this game.
Yeah, for sure. And I think locally, for instance, here around Melbourne, we've got a few tournaments coming up after Christmas.
Yes.
We've got the WPS event at Rosebud.
Yes, we've got the Sandbelt Classic coming up.
Sandbelt Classic before Christmas. We've got the National event, and we've also got the Heritage in the Yarra Valley. So there is a few chances there where he might be able to pick up a bag. Who knows?
Speaking of gigs, Peter has a message in. He wants a job with Talk Birdie to me.
Oh.
Peter said, I'd like to apply to be Nick's video guy. He always looks to be at awesome courses when he does the masterclass tips. That would be a sweet gig.
Well, it's just here at Sandy Golf Links, to tell you the truth, right across the road from Royal Melbourne.
Occasionally Cathedral.
Australian Golf Headquarters. Yeah, occasionally Cathedral and a couple others, but mostly here.
Right. I think the subtext of this is that, Mark, your filming is terrible.
Yes, that's what he was basically
that's
saying.
Where I thought it was going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what it's saying.
I think it's implied. Chapman has written in, hey guys, I'm getting back into watching golf after watching the Ryder Cup a little while ago. Listening to you guys talking about what it means to be a pro is absolutely enlightening. Oh, that's very nice.
Great.
Fantastic.
Now, Minwoo, obviously, massive win, as you guys have talked about. Lee's written in, well done, Minwoo. But more than this win, I've loved the Host Plus ads with our man, Nick O'Hearn.
Ah, yes. So
well, I didn't see any stupid ads. What are you told?
Well, it was on Channel 9.
I was only watching on Fox.
Oh, there you go.
Well, give us a run through. What did you say?
Well, I don't know what the ad actually showed in it, but it was just I had a golf club in my hand and that, and then they went through all their superannuation options and all this sort of stuff. Because that's and right at the end I go, that's a plus. But I had to do it in a variety of ways, and I guess they probably picked the most cheesy one
because
my wife and kids, they said, ah, we saw you on the TV. And it was funny.
That's very funny. SJ Willow has also said, he's talking about Minwoo Lee here, Australia's best and most exciting player at the moment.
Yep, no doubt about it.
Hard to argue.
It's a bit like the boxer with the big killer punch. You know, he just hits it that far off the tee. It's great to watch. Does it with a smile on his face. And he's bringing people through the gates, which is the most important thing.
Megastar. Pete Brown, love the podcast, guys. Nick, you touched on the PGA playoff at Coolum. Was that the one where you hold a bunker shot to win after a number of playoff holes?
That is correct, yeah. Yes. It took me four goes, four playoff holes.
Yep.
And Rye has written in, Rye Coleman has written in, this is about your masterclass, Marco, a couple of weeks ago on It's All in the Hips.
Yes.
And he said, Marco, is this with every club off the tee or the fairway?
Every club. Yeah, every club. Probably you don't want to do it too much when you're chipping and pitching, but they even then they kind of move. Yeah, it's all in the hips. Yeah, what was the guy's name? What was his name? The guy who was Clubberlang. Who was
Apollo Creed.
Apollo Creed. Yeah, yeah. Carl Weathers. Excellent. Carl Weathers is his name.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Well, now just sit back and relax. Let's have a listen. It's so good.
I love that intro. Ever since you you brought that to our attention.
Well, this is the last time we talk about it, all right?
Okay.
So now it is just part of
the
Ping
show.
Global results.
Part of the furniture.
Okay. I'm gonna start the Ping Global results a little differently because usually it's tournament results, but last week at the PGA Championship, they had the PGA Awards and they had the Greg Norman Medal given to the player from Australia who was, I guess, voted the best had the best year. And that went to Minji Lee.
Yes.
Three times now, a record. Minwoo, he's hoping for just one.
One.
Anyway, she defeated Cam Smith and all those in that
How
one.
Big will it be? Mm. And think about the world news. I mean, one, if brother and sister won an Australian Opens at the same courses in the same week.
I think it could happen this week.
It could easily happen.
It might even have something to do with my top five a little later. Ooh, so anyway, we'll get there shortly. Okay. But okay, Australian PGA Championship, which was also co-sanctioned with the DP World Tour. We covered, obviously, Minwoo. He was cooking, and he won his first title here. Hoshino finished second, Leish four, which was great. Curtis Luck. He finished fourth. Leishman finished third. Mm. The other DP World Tour event that was going on at the same time, the Joburg Open in South Africa.
I didn't see what happened.
No Aussies playing, unfortunately, but what was his name? Tristan Lawrence. He was leading by a bit, a few shots going into the final round. Shot a shocking last round. Five over 75, but that happens. South African Dean Burmester. He won shooting a 66.
I've seen him play a little bit. He's an interesting looking player. Yeah,
really good player. Yep. On the ladies' European Tour, the final event of the season, our own Kirsten Rudgley, the Mount Lawley member, had a two- or three-shot lead going into the final round, and unfortunately she didn't win. I would have
He's getting Hollywood now. Look, he's got the intro, and he's developing this little Hollywood streak.
Yeah, it's good. It was the Spanish Open, opened to Spana Aditi Ashok from India. Two-shot win over your favourite name player.
Go on.
Anne Van Dam.
Yeah, good.
It's a great name, isn't it? Kirsten, unfortunately, didn't quite win. She finished fourth, but she also finished on the order, 30th on the order of merit. A great great first up year for her over there. So she'll be back playing.
Is Anne Van Dam playing this week in the Aussie Open?
I don't think she... I'll have to look that one up.
We'll look
we
it
will
up.
Check. I we'll hope check. She is because you need to get to fly to Sydney and go follow her, I think. Anyway, that is our Ping Global Results. Not much happening this week other than obviously just these events here in Australia.
Righto, it's time for this week's Top 5.
And in honour of Minwoo Lee, Minji Lee, the siblings, I'm going for the top five siblings in golf.
No, you're going to have to dig deep. There couldn't be many. Well, and if the Nicklaus boys, what about Gary and Jack Jr.? Are they going to be on that list?
Sorry, they weren't much good. I didn't know. That's why they're not on the list. So you've got to be decent. You've got to be decent. So I'm giving a special mention to a couple. So it's really a top seven. I'm going to give a special mention to one that we just commentated on the other day, Kazuma Kobori and his sister Momoka Kobori, who has won on the Challenger PGA Tour.
10 years' time, you might have to find room for him, I reckon.
I think so. So special mention to them, and also special mention to Rasmus and Nikolai Højgaard.
Oh, rubbish.
They didn't make my top five.
Rubbish. How could they not be in your top five?
My number five. And this one, it was a tough one to sort of put in, but if I don't put him in, I'll be sledged from all angles.
Yeah.
Brooks and Chase Koepka. Okay. I've got to go with the heaviness of five major wins from Brooks. Chase Koepka. I know he's winless, but his brother makes up for a lot.
Oh, you're hurting me with that. You've left out Rasmus and Nikola, and you've put those...
Only because...
Out of the weight.
Five majors. That's big. Okay.
Well, does Jack Nicklaus have a brother?
Horrified
with that. Oh, wow.
Well,
can't believe it.
Put Tiger and Charlie Woods in there, but it's not siblings. Okay. So, okay. So, number four, the Molinaris.
Yeah, very good.
Eduardo and Francesco.
I forgot about the Molinaris.
Yeah, I know you did. Francesco won the 2018 Open, and Eduardo has won three DP World Tour events. So, very strong form.
And he won the US Amateur, not Francesco. The other one won the US Amateur with Francesco caddying for him in the US Amateur.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, there you go.
There's a bit of stupid history.
Number three. I love both of these sisters' golf swings.
Oh, yeah.
The quarters.
Yes.
Jessica and Nelly.
Jeez, I don't know who's going to be one and two because they're good.
They're good. Nelly's won a major at the PGA,
women's
PGA, and Jessica's won six times on the LPGA Championship. Number two, another pair of sisters.
Who?
The Jutanagans.
Aria
and Moria Jutanagan.
Yep.
Aria's won two majors and also has 12 wins on the LPGA Tour. Moria's won a few times on the LPGA. So that's strong. I know that was a bit of a dark horse for you. You were looking at me going, really?
No, that's good. You've backed it. Say the names again.
Aria and Moria Jutanagan.
When Aria first came out to the Australian Open, she came out years ago, and I think she won. Did she win the Australian Open?
But she'd see stingers off two irons.
Yeah, she came out and they couldn't say her name. And she said, it's really, really easy. Think of motorbike. That's what she said.
Oh, I love it. Fantastic. And number one, I'm going local just because, hey, they're going to win the Australian Open this week. Minji and Minwoo.
Can't fold it.
No.
Well done.
And I apologise for not getting the Højgaards in there, Mark. So
I don't know how you'd not.
Well, who would you put out of those five?
The Koepkas.
Koepkas? Right. Yeah, five majors. That's tough.
Yeah.
But you're right.
I don't know. Is the other Koepka even be? I mean, at the bare minimum, I think you have to be on a tour. Now, I'm not sure whether Liv counts.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll put him out and the Højgaard's coming in at number five.
I never thought I'd get my way. No, I never thought it.
I was really tossing up, but I thought five majors or... Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I know what you're trying to do, and it makes sense.
And I'm trying to, you know...
Brooks is probably the player of this century so far. Or is he? No, Tiger's still there.
Tiger's still there. Yeah, of this decade.
Last
10 years. How's that?
I'll settle for the last 10 years.
Hey, by the way, Ann Van Damme not playing this weekend.
Oh, what are the organisers doing at Golf Australia if they can't find room for Ann Van Damme?
On the name alone, she should be playing.
Imagine if it was Minji Lee versus Ann Van Damme coming down the last. It would have just been huge. Time for this week's Masterclass. And I'm going to rehash an old masterclass.
Okay.
I'm doing it on pitching.
That's cheating.
I know that, but it's worth it because Minwoo's pitching this week and chipping was elite. And one of the things that I did notice, and I know that there are lots of people out there who just never use this principle. So many people, you know, when you're under 80 yards, you're basically using the same club for all those shots when you pitch. You know, it's either the 56 or it's your lob wedge. It's one or the other. And you've got to judge how far to hit the ball. And Minwoo was doing it so well. And he doesn't judge how hard to hit the ball. It's really clear to my eye. He definitely judges how long his backswing should be to match up to how hard the ball comes off his golf club. Now, this sounds really obvious. It sounds ridiculously obvious. But unfortunately, not enough people do it. And this changed my short game when I was in Texas Tech. This principle is instead of trying to work out how hard to hit the ball, try to judge how long your backswing should be to get the ball the required distance. And it sounds kind of back to front. I don't know why it works, and I don't know why it's so easy when you do it, but it just is. So again, no matter whether the ball's back or the ball's forward, no matter whether the club's open or the club's shut, no matter whether you're trying to fade it or whether you're trying to draw it, stop trying to judge how hard they hit the ball and start trying to judge how long the backswing should be.
And you try and match the follow-through with that backswing?
You betcha. That's part of your deal. Mm-hmm. It was never really part of my deal.
Okay.
But I've incorporated a little bit of what you do in because you are my short game coach these days. And it definitely works as well.
Very good.
Are you commentating this week at the Australian Open?
I am going to Sydney shortly.
Well, I'll just stay at home and watch on the TV again. I'll see you next week.
Hey, Mark, that's a plus.
Thanks for listening to Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen's podcast, Talk Birdie to Me. And if you're looking for some new gear, Ping is absolute top class. Ping help you play your best. Contact your local golf shop or professional and they'll sort you out. And the Golf Clearance Outlet, who beat everyone's prices. They're in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Perth, and online at golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. Got a favour to ask, wherever you listen, if you get a chance to rate and review the pod, that would be fantastic. And if you subscribe, you'll never miss an episode. Talk Birdie Sydney's executive producer is Dan Bradley at Kaizen Media, and sound design is by Daryl Misson at loudzebra.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.